So welcome to today's broadcast. Delighted to bring you another G&T broadcast with my good friend and colleague Terry Gormley, the Mindshaper. As we normally do with these, we like to focus on questions that have come in from our audience, from people that have either emailed us or called us with a particular question, something that's maybe stimulated.
Yeah.
I'm interested in this buying businesses thing, but...
Yeah, what is this buying businesses thing? How does it work?
Yeah, exactly.
Because actually, if you go out there and say, oh, I'm going to buy a business with none of my own capital and none of my own money, people look at you like...
Hey? Yeah, what's that? How does that work?
So without further ado, what do you think? Straight in. Okay. So why would someone want to sell you a profitable business? So how do we find motivated sellers? So it's a couple of parts to this question. How do we find motivated sellers and create a win-win for both you and the vendor, the person selling the business?
Absolutely. Let's start with the first part, because that's the easy
okay,
one, really. It might seem contrary to expectation that you know you've got a nice successful business bringing you revenue, etc., etc.
Why
nice
do you car, want to sell holidays, all
yeah,
that
exactly.
Sort of
and in fact, the first question on our vendor questionnaire is, "Why are you selling the business?"
Yeah.
Now you know we get information. From
and just to be clear for those that don't know what that is, it's a questionnaire that we use to you know when we're talking to the vendor or the person selling the business.
To elicit information about their motivations behind the sale. A lot of people approach these from a kind of very analytical, cold, what's the numbers, all that sort of stuff. But actually, 80% of a business sale is emotional. It's irrational, not rational.
Yeah.
In just the same way as our conscious minds only represent the tip of what's going on in our brains, our subconscious drives a huge amount of what we do. Then the same thing applies in terms of motivation behind a seller of a business.
Yeah. Well, but if you, you know, I'm sure the guys watching this will be thinking, so I've got a really good business, it's making me a lot of money. You know, why would you sell a business like that? Why would you do that?
Well, let me give you a couple of examples. Probably the easiest way to illustrate it. So, example A was a business where there were three owners. This was one that we bid on. Three owners where two of them were approaching 60 and one was 10 years younger. Okay, so their view was to exit the business was the best solution. And you'd think, well, why wouldn't the younger one buy out the other two? The first question.
Yeah.
So the answer to that was, I don't want to be left on my own.
Do you know, isn't that so common?
I love what I do. Yeah. I don't want to give up work. I don't want to finish what I do, but I don't want to be the last man standing.
And for those of the business owners and entrepreneurs and even the self-employed people out there, being in business... or especially at the top of the tree is quite a lonely place, isn't it?
So that was the reason. So obviously my thought process was then, well, okay, but I need to keep him engaged in the process.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to buy out all of his shares because the risk of him then going is, that's a bit iffy. Nonetheless, so when we went through the questionnaire, we uncovered, you know, they're just tired, you know, had enough. They've paid off the houses, put the kids to university, paid for the weddings, you know, and now it's like, okay, what's my time? And one of the questions I said was, what are you going to do after the sale?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm going to walk the dog on the beach and I'm not going to have to do that horrible drive to the office every day. So they're very human, natural reasons why people just get to a point where it's like, I need to get out.
Do you know, what you've just done is spark something in my mind there about a survey that I put out a couple of years ago to quite a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, and the whole survey, 94% of business owners didn't have an exit plan. They didn't know. So that tells me that people are floating through the life in their business having no idea what their exit plan is.
And they just wake up one day and go, okay, time to go.
Do you know what? And it might be, I'm guessing it might be a specific incident that happens, you know, unfortunately an illness or something happens, a realization.
You get lots of that. Yeah,
a realization in the mind where they go, do you know what?
Occasionally you'll get things like, you know, divorce or almost like a forced sale, but more often than not, it's just an emotional, physical reaction to a circumstance or point in time. The other example, just quickly, was someone at a different place, mid-40s, very successful business, growing, making tons of money. He's got his Aston Martin. You think, why would you sell that? You
know,
any business owner would aspire to, you know, to run a business like that. And when I ask the question, it's like, well, it's an opportunity cost. You know, if I wait another 3 years, I have a plan, but between now and the next 3 years, anything could happen.
Right.
Who's to say that, you know, my grand plan to exit in 3 years' time the circumstances will be everything that I hope they'll be. Mm. And if I can get an offer today that locks in value for my business, because he's no schmuck, he knows yeah, what it's yeah, worth, yeah. yeah, I'm better off doing that deal today than, you know, so he's not the most motivated vendor, but he's certainly up there in terms of,
yeah,
you know, if we can get the right deal, the deal's a good one. Mm. And so what appears to be a great business is a great business, mm-hmm. nothing wrong with it at all, but there are reasons underpinning why a vendor would want to exit.
Yeah, and I think that's always the case. There are always going to be, and when we talk about reasons, maybe a better way to say that is things that are important to people. Maybe it's, mm-hmm. you know, maybe it's time to, key for us recently, time to retire to Florida or do the things you've always wanted to do and put off because you've been working to, you know, to put your kids through university and then their kids through school and make sure everybody's right. And
absolutely.
And now it's time, it's time to kind of...
So I think perhaps what underpins the question is, well, you know, if the business is good, why would anybody sell it?
Yeah.
So, you know, that well, there are reasons, good reasons, why it's still for sale. So it doesn't mean the business isn't any good.
No.
There's one other category that's probably worth checking into the mix. Sometimes big corporates have smaller businesses or divisions that are no longer core.
Yeah.
And actually, they just want to get rid.
Yeah.
You know, again, nothing really wrong with the business per se, but there's just a logical reason that's nothing to do with the company why it's for sale. So it's worth bearing in mind.
So, and I know these, we could talk all day with these. These questions that come in, they're amazing. We could talk all day and, you know, I'm sure whatever we do with these, people will love it. But we really need to go on to the next bit of the question, which is, so where would we find motivated sellers? And why is it important, that word, motivated sellers?
Well, okay, so motivated sellers in a truer sense is really important because fundamentally in getting a deal done, there are layers of complexity. It's a process, it's a step-by-step process, but at every step, there's a degree of complexity that you're going to have to overcome. And so what happens often is deal fatigue. Mm. Basically, a vendor just gets, do you know what, I'm worn down by this process.
Yeah.
More questions, more information, more this, more
same
the other.
Same thing again.
I've already answered that question.
I answer it every single time you bring somebody to me. Yeah.
If they don't have the desire to really get the deal done, deal fatigue cuts in and they'll go, I can't be bothered anymore. And I had one deal in particular where twice we nearly bought the company, twice the guy kind of gave up.
Yeah,
and actually eventually just closed it and walked away from £2 million. So
he just, wait, let me get that right. He just closed the business.
Closed it.
And walked away from £2 million because he was low on energy and not.
Yeah, just had enough.
That's bonkers.
So motivation is really important. Yeah. Where are they? They're all around you.
Yeah.
Literally all around you. So what we tend to focus on is businesses where, you know, we can, by analysis using our database system, we can identify businesses where their shareholders are generally older. You know, kind of 60 plus is a real sweet spot.
Yeah.
55 upwards.
Yeah.
You know, if you just think about it, your own experience, if you're 40 now running a business, you fast forward to 55 and you've had 15 years of all of the stuff you're going through right now, how are you going to feel? So just project in your mind, you know, it's not too difficult to realise that you probably are going to fall into that category at some stage.
So we don't have much time left on this episode, if I know right? We don't have much time. I want you to just give us sort of 30 to 45 seconds on what do you mean by a win-win agreement for both the buyer and the vendor?
So in really simple terms, there has to be something in it for both sides. That's a win-win. So a fair price based on a fair valuation. We're not in it to dick people over or, you know, just be clever or try to, you know, see something in the accounts that we can see that they can't see.
Or do the Richard Gere thing, you know, buy it and screw people over and all that.
That's not what we're talking about. So, but equally, if we're providing a fair price, then there has to be something from the other side in terms of, and a classic example, 95% of all deals contain a deferred payment consideration. So,
and what does that mean?
Yeah, so a lump of money on the day,
and
then the balance deferred over a given period of time,
okay.
and that could be between typically 12 months to 36 months, sometimes longer. Mm. But you know, that's where there's a shared common interest in the outcome for the business, really. So, so that's a very quick summary of what a win-win deal might look like.
Well, unfortunately, buddy.
Come to the end of time today.
So,
we've got some gin to drink. Cheers.
Cheers, everybody.
And we'll see you on the next one. So subscribe, get in touch. You know, let's get some dialogue going. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next time.
Cheers.